Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish church reformer, Christmas was absurd. The biblical story, complete with a virgin, a baby, angels, and a host of other nativity guests, was utterly irrational. He said, nobody would have done it that way. And that, Kierkegaard concluded, is what made Christmas so perfect. Christmas, as Kierkegaard saw it, was the classic example of Christianity's absurdity, a showcase of God's divine trademark, logical impossibilities. An infinite and eternal God became a finite and mortal man, so he said. The Danish man never tired of that profound paradox or its appeal. Another historical figure, St. Francis of Assisi. He's the one who is credited with creating the first nativity scene in 1223 in Greccio, I think is how you say it, or Greccio, Italy. It was an attempt to place the emphasis of Christmas on the worship of Christ rather than on all the secular revelry and gift-giving. Remind you, this is 1223 that we're talking about, and they were worried about it then. So staged in a cave near Greccio, St. Francis' nativity scene was a live one with humans and animals cast in the biblical characters' roles. Now, Pope Honorius III gave his blessing to the exhibit. Such pantomimes became hugely popular and spread throughout Christendom. Within 100 years, every church in Italy was expected to have a nativity scene at Christmas time. Eventually, however, statues replaced the human and animal participants, and these static scenes grew to become elaborate affairs, with richly robed figurines placed in intricate landscapes and settings. And there was a certain Charles III, who was the king of the Two Sicilies, and he began to collect the elaborate scenes around him. And so his enthusiasm for that encouraged other people to do so. So we have the Italians to thank for giving us this beautiful tradition, which helps us to grasp the truth of, as Kierkegaard said, an infinite and eternal God becoming a finite and mortal man. There's another quote I want to give you. This is from Dr. Paul Meyer on this subject. He says, the most astounding phenomenon in the entire Bible and in all of history is the incarnation. The infinite God crossing the cosmic divide between himself and his creation. God showing up as a baby. The Christian mind reels in awe and wonder in trying to fathom the profound significance of the first Christmas. So says Dr. Meyer. And that profound, profound significance is what we are trying to wrap our minds around when we put this manger scene together every year. Now, one of the things that I read about the scene that we use tells us that the placement of the figures has developed certain meanings in some cultures. Where you place Mary and Joseph in relation to the manger, for some, has a certain significance, while others withhold putting the baby in the manger till Christmas morning. I got that here. Some even keep the manger itself out of the scene until then. There are also, of course, animals, oftentimes a cow and always a sheep, but one that sometimes gets overlooked or forgotten about altogether is a donkey. But when you think about it, that's one animal that should be there. Not only because it seems likely that perhaps Mary may have rode on one in coming to Bethlehem, but also its significance is because Jesus rode one when he came into Jerusalem. Jesus came on a donkey to Jerusalem to die on the cross and to rise again as the ultimate absurdity, as Kierkegaard might say. For God to come, and more than just come, but to come and take the place of sinful man in punishment for sin is an absurdity to the human mind. So having a donkey at the manger scene would be a precursor to the fulfillment of the king coming on a donkey, as we're told in Zechariah chapter 9. Then also in the creche, or in the nativity scene, there are also the wise men. Now, we actually know very little about these wise men. We don't even know how many there were. The Bible doesn't say. But three is a good number, because imagine trying to buy 40 wise men for your nativity scene. But some people also keep the wise men out until the Epiphany, showing that they arrived later, as indicated by the text that you read. And because three gifts are mentioned, what are they? Very good. The early church, because of that, spoke of three wise men, even somehow giving them names, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. There you go. The Venerable Bede, one of the great scholars of the early Middle Ages, he wrote this about the wise men. The first is said to have been Melchior, an old man with white hair and a long beard, who offered gold to the Lord as to a king. The second, named Caspar, young and beardless and ruddy complexioned, honored him as God by his gift of incense, an offering worthy of divinity. The third, black-skinned and heavily bearded, called Balthazar, by his gift of myrrh testified that the Son of Man was to die. So says the Venerable Bede. Now, all of these traditions and legends have a place in the lore and in the appeal of using a creche. But all of them, in the end, are meant to do as St. Francis intended when he started this whole thing in Italy. And that is to give us a focus for our contemplation of the mystery of, as Kierkegaard said, an infinite and eternal God becoming a finite and mortal man. I have a manger scene ornament that's made from wood from Israel. So I'm going to close with this story. Years ago, Dr. Oswald Hoffman, the former Lutheran Hour speaker, told about a friend who was returning to the U.S. from Israel. When his friend visited Bethlehem, he purchased a beautiful hand-carved nativity set. Carefully, he packed it in a box, and he planned to hold it on his lap during the trip home. But his new nativity set made the customs officials in Israel very nervous. They carefully examined each piece of the set and then took away the entire thing for a short time to do further tests. A customs official explained to his friend, "We must make sure that there is nothing explosive in those figures." I like that story. It's a good story. But in fact, there is something very explosive in the Christmas story, which these figures tell us. It's the explosion of good news of God's love and his plan to set people free from sin and death and the devil. God comes shockingly into our world in the baby Jesus, and with him came the good news of great joy that he has come to all people. Jesus has come to us in this world. And in this manger scene that we contemplate this evening, we see represented the entry of God into this world. So let us join Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the animals, and yes, even the wise men, and devote ourselves to pondering this wonder that God has come to earth to give us his peace. Think on that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our